certainly at night, over in that direction, you can see the lights of Ashdod and Ashkelon. You can see all the way along the coastal plain.
The Israeli settler's face glows with a calm intensity. Mark Kahm stands under a harsh sun looking out from the edge of a cliff in the West Bank settlement of Dolev.
The view is absolutely terrific. This range here is the last range before the coast.
We gaze across at the terraced hills, dotted with olive trees and eroded down to bedrock. To the southeast lies Jerusalem, to the west Tel Aviv and the Mediterranean. Another Jewish settlement stands on a nearby hilltop, its orange roofs in sharp contrast to the white stone mosques and homes of the Palestinian villages below. Like the pioneers whose manifest destiny built the American West, Mark Kahm, his wife and five boys, cling to land long claimed by someone else. Their deed is found in an ancient text.
The hill of Arik is described in the book of Judges as being the border between the lands of the tribes of Benjamin and the lands of the tribes of Ephraim, just over here. And if you look around you, again, you've many other places, the Beit Horon, Emek Lod, the Lod Valley, all of them mentioned in the scriptures that talk about the land, give the land a sort of ownership.
At stake here is not just ownership of the land, but of the water beneath the land. Under the rocky hills of this settlement lies an underground lake. Most of this aquifer rests under Palestinian land in the West Bank, yet the vast majority of the water is used by Israel. Nearly half a trillion gallons a year, about a quarter of the Jewish state's annual supply, are pumped from a small tip of the aquifer that extends beneath Israel, helping Jewish farmers earn the reputation for making the desert bloom. It also helps Israelis enjoy water on par with some European nations. In theory, West Bank Palestinians could tap into this renewable supply too by sinking their own wells. But for 30 years since the occupation of the West Bank, Israeli military orders have required permission for new wells, permission rarely granted. Jewish settlers, meanwhile, have drilled deep wells into that same aquifer. These facts help explain why the average Israeli uses three times as much water as a Palestinian. Now, under the final status map drawn up by Benjamin Netanyahu's government, this and other water-rich parts of the West Bank would be annexed by Israel. In the final settlement, Israel's hand would remain on the tap, permanently.
If we shall compete pumping between each other, and everyone will pump deeper to a lower level, we shall ruin this aquifer.
Meir Ben Meir is Israel's water commissioner. He says for years, Israel has run a massive water delivery system, so it's the logical choice to manage the shared resource for Palestinians and Israelis. Ben Meir is speaking for his boss, General Ariel Sharon, whose hardline thinking has been crucial in drawing up the new maps. Sharon was out of power for years, following the accounts of his indirect role in the massacre of 1,000 Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. Today, as Minister of Infrastructure, Sharon, more than anyone, is asserting the notion of permanent Israeli control over land and water in the West Bank. Sharon's deputy, Ben Meir, promises that even with that control, Israel would not hold back water from thirsty Palestinians.
If it is for humanitarian needs, I don't see any way why Palestinians will have less water and Israelis will have more water or vice versa. The most effective tool, of course, if one authority is responsible for managing the aquifer, an Israeli authority, and is responsible for supplying water according to humanitarian needs, this is the best solution.
Essentially, this means that Israel retains control over the water supply.
This is the best solution from the point of view of protecting the water supply.
Yet if Israel is such a good water manager, Palestinian critics wonder, why does it allow Israeli farmers to continue to overpump the aquifers? Why do some Israeli kibbutzes in the desert use 20 times more water than a Palestinian refugee camp in Gaza? Fadel Kawash of the Palestinian Water Authority.
What they are doing, it's a big mistake here. If they don't understand that people cannot live without water, they put themselves, I have no words to say in English, but it will be very difficult future in the area. if they want really to live here in peace and to respect the right of the other people, water is a life. Without water, no life.
Mohammed Barakat Daoud Laoul tends his goats from his backyard in Hebron. Face burnt by the sun, dark, neatly trimmed beard, flowing headdress, he could pass for Joseph in the Bible, were it not for his gold watch and filter-tipped cigarettes. His father owned land in old Palestine, but now that's part of Israel, and so Mohammed's 70 goats are crammed onto this half-acre urban lot. In the summer, he spends $150 a month just to water his goats. All the more important, he explains, to tell his children to save water.
Every day, it's like a lesson in school. Don't waste water, because we won't find any more to drink. If my son spills a glass of milk, I won't scold him. But if he spills a glass of water, I say, "What are you doing? Where can I get water for you?" I ask my family, "Open the tap very slowly, so we don't waste one drop."
The family catches the rain and stores it in barrels. They recycle their laundry water and use it on their plants. Even so, some of the garden is dead this year. The family is down to one bath a week in a place where summertime temperatures can reach 100 degrees. Mohammed Barakat says it's getting frustrating.
It's not because there is no water in Palestine, but this water is in the hands of those who don't want us to live. They save it for themselves. I have either to accept and keep my mouth shut or leave my land looking for another place. The aim is to pressure me with all means to leave my land.
In the interim agreement to the Oslo Accords, designed to guide both parties to a final settlement, Palestinians were supposed to get some relief. Israel pledged to supply additional water to Hebron and other parts of the West Bank and Gaza through additional wells and pipelines. The U.S. Agency for International Development put up $50 million toward the projects, but those wells are yet to deliver any water. U.S. and Palestinian officials say, despite the Oslo Agreement, Israeli officials have delayed final approval.
And they know very well that the Americans have the money. The Americans have the contractor. He's sitting waiting now 6 months to distribute the documents for tendering. They cannot, because no permits.
Fadel Kawash of the Palestinian Water Authority says by stalling in Hebron, the Israeli government and its Minister of Infrastructure, Ariel Sharon, have shown contempt for the Oslo Accords.
Now, because of the political, maybe international atmosphere, they cannot say we are against the agreement, the Oslo. But what they are doing now in the implementation, it's a translation of what their position regarding these agreements. They are against totally.
In public, American officials are more diplomatic. Christopher Crowley is director of the U.S. aid mission to Gaza and the West Bank.
The agreement that was reached under the interim accords should be implemented. And we would hope that all of the parties would facilitate our ability to do that implementation in as quick a manner as possible so that we can address this issue of insufficient water resources in the Palestinian territories.
In private, other American officials are more pointed. They say Ariel Sharon is trying to undermine the peace process. Sharon's spokesman says that's not the case. Israeli officials cite technical reasons for the delays, and they now say they'll grant the necessary permits for the Hebron wells. It's possible tensions over water there will ease in the coming months. But the Israelis are withholding permission for another key well in the north. With peace talks broken off now between the two sides, no comprehensive water settlement is in sight. Scores of Palestinian villages will pass another summer without running water. And now, through its new plans to annex more than half the West Bank, Israel may be trying to change the Mideast bargain of land for peace, instead offering water for land. If the Palestinians would agree to give up half the West Bank and control over the joint water supply, Israeli Water Commissioner Ben Meir says his government would open the taps.
And an Israeli firm or rigid obligation to supply water according to humanitarian needs.
But Palestinians insist they will never accept such a shrunken, reservation-style version of their territory as proposed in the Israeli maps, nor give up control over their share of the water. To do so, says Palestinian Water Authority Director Nabil Sharif, would be to give up the dream of an independent state.
You cannot say that we cannot, the Palestinians cannot control the water. The area is Palestinians and they are occupying us. They are in our land. I don't want to propose that this plan will go. It means there will be no peace.
Sharif says the dream of a sovereign nation called Palestine must include within it another dream, the use and control of enough water to prosper. At the moment, both dreams seem like shallow ponds quivering in the distance, ready to evaporate like a desert mirage.